Hi there, and welcome to another week of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're back in Exodus chapters 5 and 6 today. Message called, It's Going, Just as Planned. Even though it may not seem so from our eyes. In fact, as we begin our time together today, we do so with Moses' prayer. That first moment of perceived failure, Moses melts. He falls apart, and he accuses God of not holding up his end of the deal. You ever been there? Oh, we have a time or two, but today's message reminds us of just how faithful God really is. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon in today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
He is pouring out his heart in frustration. And in the process, I would conclude, shows unbelief, impatience. And if I heard a prayer like that, I would say rebellion, right? But let's be honest. Have you ever felt any of those things? Maybe you weren't bold enough to voice it, but has it been in your heart? You ever struggled with the question, if God is good and God is sovereign, why this mess? How is he the one not at fault in all this? If you're truly in control and you're truly seated on the throne and we believe that about you, why are you letting this happen? Why are you letting Christians, why are you letting their heads get cut off? What about the fall into sin? How many times have you heard that question from somebody? How could a good God? Are you the one bringing this? Why are you putting us through this? You like doing this? I don't see deliverance. It's hard when you've made a conscious choice and you believe him and nothing corresponds to what you've believed. I tried to validate the story and I had some feedback from somebody, but I heard years ago that there was a student at Westminster who had sold everything and spent everything to uproot his family. He went to seminary and then he went on to get a PhD, and the week after graduation, he dies in a car accident. And you think, what in the world? Think of the wife who's struggling with faithfulness to God's promises. Think of a family committed. I remember a family committed to the Lord who backed over their child in the driveway. An employee takes a stand about working on Sunday, gets fired. A man runs his business in a God-honoring way as opposed to the crook next door. His goes under. A woman rejects looking at many unbelieving men. She wants to be married, so she really does follow the Lord, and she looks hard. She can't find anyone to marry. No man comes around for years. Parents do everything they feel is right to train their children in the Lord, and they see those efforts go up in flames. Why are we taken to the brink? Real cries at times, aren't they? And real discouragement, sorting out how to live by faith in this, all that's been said to us. And humanly speaking, when what we're being told is an absolute impossibility, it really becomes hard. How is God going to get Israel out of this one? It went from bad to worse. And this is about as bad as it could get, unless he just killed them all. And you know where it leads. Bitterness. Bitterness. Well, I look at Moses and here he is. But you know, in all of this, I find one thing really right about Moses. Israel runs back to who to get them out of the mess? Pharaoh. Moses is at the footstool. Moses is before the Lord. He's at the throne of grace. And he's bearing all. He's crying out to the one he knows is sovereign, who in this case seems to have abandoned him. And you know how important that is, that point is? Moses pouring out his struggling heart to the Lord. Is there anything worse than feeling that God is against you? What do you do when you feel that God is against you? You just become discouraged and go the other way, don't you? Last place you want to be is here, singing praise to the Lord the Almighty. This is Yahweh he's talking to like this, by the way. If I were spoken to as a pastor, let's just hypothetically do this for a minute. If I were spoken to as a pastor, and one of you were really mad at me, and you said, you have evil intentions. Your leadership is evil to us, and you haven't done your job at all, and you know what? You're a terrible pastor. I don't trust you anymore. How do you think I'd respond to that? Well, I don't know. I really don't. I'd probably try to be nice. I would fight back a little bit. I might use the kind of line, knock it off. I might say, you're acting terrible. I might say, you're terribly disrespecting the servant of the Lord. I would be prone to throw the book at you. I'd be prone to start reading the Ten Commandments. Really hard, by the way. What about your children? What if your children walked up to you and with this kind of frustration and came to you and poured out and said these kind of things about your leadership as parents and assaulted you and said, you're not fulfilling anything you've said as parents. And I mean, you really felt this. You're doing evil to us. What would you do? What does God do? This is why I love the Old Testament. This is why I've always believed you want to see the character of your God, study it. What you have in front of you is the most tender, gracious, kind response of the Lord to assure his servant of his promises. What does he do? What does God do? He preaches a gospel sermon to him. The most encouraging covenant of grace sermon we get in the Old Testament. He preaches it. And the goal is to encourage his servant and strengthen his servant and reassure his servant and recommission his servant. Notice what he says. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Didn't say, knock it off, Moses. For with a strong hand he will let him go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. Moses, you watch what I'm about to do to this guy. You watch what I'm about to do to this guy. In a few chapters, the Lord is going to say, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, that my name may be declared in all the earth. Moses, you're going to see why I'm allowing this. You're going to see why this is all going the way it's gone. Last week, my title to the sermon was, it wasn't supposed to go this way, and I've titled the sermon, it's all going just as planned, Moses. I'm going to allow Pharaoh to I'm not going to allow Pharaoh to overcome my plans for you. You watch what I do. He's going to drive you out with his arm. Somebody walked up to me last week and says, do you know what Pharaoh says when they leave? He says, bless me, please. You'll see the good intention that I have for you, Moses, and not evil. You'll see my purposes unfold and my plans to bless and not harm. I hold his heart. You're absolutely right. I harden it and I soften it as I please, so that right now you're going to see what I do to him, so that you will understand what salvation is and what it means and what it looks like. That's the whole point. You don't get it. It takes so much more than human strength to deliver sinners from bondage, Moses. I'm going to show you my power. I'm going to unveil my power. In all of us and our children, we begin to face things that are perplexing and overwhelming. It's not as if God has let something happen beyond his will. Moses still had to witness himself, the deliverance. So what was God doing at this point before the deliverance? That's why I think there's this window here where we have to spend the time understanding this. He's calling him to faith. Believe me, this is how the just live. They live by faith. And it's no different from us. The whole New Testament, you know, if you say, well, I feel the same kind of burden and struggle as Moses, the whole New Testament presents the second coming of the Lord as a rescue mission to pull us out because we would be crushed. Can you imagine how awesome it's going to be as you see all of the antagonism, all the hatred of the Lord run its course, the cycle of iniquity running its course as it always has, and it becoming complete right in front of you, and you see what's coming, and you see the persecutions. Can you imagine when heaven opens all of a sudden in the midst of that? And there he comes. See, I've told you beforehand, said Jesus. You know what it's going to be like. You know it's going to come. And this should should cheer our hearts in the midst of the opposition. And this is what the Lord does to him. Notice what he does. Pharaoh had just said, "Who is the Lord?" The Lord says to him in verse 2, God spoke, "I am the Lord." Notice it's all capitalized. Who is this Lord, this desert God in a shrub? I don't change, Moses. I'm going to fulfill my word and my promise. I didn't, and you haven't really thought a lot about what I've already done for you. I didn't reveal myself to the fathers like I'm now going to show myself to you. Your fathers didn't really, they knew this name, but they didn't really know me by this name. Meaning, they didn't see what this name looks like in fulfillment. You are the generation to see it. You're going to see it. It's all going to unfold in front of you. Salvation begins with me. Salvation comes from me. I'm the powerful one. There's nothing too difficult for me, Moses. Nothing escapes me. You're going to see it. And then he explains something so glorious to Moses. What is it? Look at verse 4. I establish my covenant with them to give them. He's talking of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Your fathers, I establish my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I've heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves. I've remembered my covenant. Say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you, just listen to this. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God who has brought you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. I have a great desire, Moses. You're going to be my people, and I will be your God. You know what that is, right? It's the essence of the covenant of grace. I've remembered it. To which you all should say at this point, every time God has said in Genesis, I remember something, remember, watch out. Flood, Sodom and Gomorrah, and now he says it right before Egypt. These guys are in deep doo-doo. I've not forgotten Abraham, Moses. And I'm going to bring you back to the land that I swore. You know that word swore there in verse 8, you know what it means? When I lifted up my hand. To which you say, when did God lift up his hand and swear? Genesis 15. He went in oath stance that night when Abraham was sleeping, and he cut open animals, remember, and he put them in rows. And the Lord that night passed through those pieces, and it says that the symbols of God himself, a smoking fire pot and a blazing torch. It was a two-columned, what we call theophany. They were like the legs of God walking through in oath stance. I swear to do this. Two immutable things, says Hebrew. Promise and oath. I have to do this. I'm God. I can't lie. God walked through that night. Abraham was taking a doze, and all of this was unconditional, the covenant of grace. If I break that covenant to Abraham, then what happened to me? Now remember this. Remember what God said right after this? In the midst of that oath-cutting ceremony, do you remember what happened? He said this, your people, Abraham, will be afflicted 400 years, and you will go to your fathers in peace. Notice the promise. But I will bring them back. I'm going to get them. Not one of them will be lost. I took the oath. So here's what I want you to do, Moses. I want you to go back and I want you to speak to them this promise. There are seven I wills here. Did you notice that? There's these I wills in verse 6. Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. And he just keeps going. I will. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to take you. I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, your God, who brings you from out of the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, and I will give it to you as an heritage. I am the Lord. Well, that harkens back to Abraham when the Lord spoke seven promises to him. Isn't it amazing that Moses, at the lowest moment of frustration, ready to quit, ready to give up, God gives him a grace sermon? I can learn so much from that as a pastor. You can learn so much from that as a parent, by the way. This is how hearts are changed. This is how faith is created. And this is where I want to challenge us today. What? How does this section end? I chose to end deliberately on verse 9 for a reason. I want you to feel the effect. Listen, look at verse 9. So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. Moses went out and he preached the gospel. God's proclaiming free grace. God is proclaiming through Moses, his pastor, grace and mercy and freedom. And they were so held in the bondage, they couldn't hear it. They were so afflicted. Their hearts were so cast down. They were so burdened. They were so full of anguish. They were so worried. They couldn't even hear what God was saying to them. You know, I've thought to myself all of my life, isn't that just the challenge today? We wait upon the Lord to come and get us. And all the discouragements along the way, we're in a generation that's faced more depression. This has been a depressed generation. All the distraction, all the frustration. And what's the last thing you want to hear sometimes? Another sermon on what God will do. It's time to see it done. 400 years, they sat there. What's been one of my greatest struggles as a pastor? I've seen a lot of life-changing response to the gospel message preached. I believe with all my heart, 1 Corinthians 1, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. I've seen it. I've enjoyed being a part and thankful to be used that way. But I also have seen in my own ministry the other thing, that year after year after year, I have steadily tried by grace to preach the magnificent love of God. And I feel at times that I have failed at that, at times that I have not been as clear about that as I want to be. But I have witnessed people put up a wall, totally distracted by life and bondage and hardship and all of the hardships of their lives and all the frustration of living in a sin-cursed world. They have put up a wall and they could sit and not listen. And do you know it's possible that you could sit under a gospel ministry for 20 years and never hear it? Do you hear him? This is how the Lord's responding to us. He didn't have to do this. We chose our misery. We chose our bondage. But God made a promise. And if you believe that this God can't lie, here we all are, burdened by sin, burdened by bondage, anguish over the things that happen, and God every week bears his heart to you. And he says, come to me. This is what the Lord Jesus was constantly saying. Come to me. I'll give you rest from your burdens. Do you hear it? Do you hear what he's thinking about? I'll give you Sabbath. I'll give you rest from all of your burdens. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come to me. Come to me. I'm going to fulfill what I started. And then every week we get the vantage point of looking back now, and the cross has been done. I have. That's his message to us. I have. It's finished. I am the good shepherd. I am. That was Christ telling it all over the place. I am the Lord. I came for you. And sometimes I wonder if our burdens and frustrations prevent us from hearing it because of the broken spirit and harsh slavery. Are you hearing the Lord today? He's with you. He wants you to hear. I am your God. You are my people. The greatest balm in your wait is to know that he has and he will fulfill his covenant of grace and promise to you. Don't turn away from him. We sometimes look at people who harden their hearts and stiffen their hearts and then don't even want to come. to church. And I think, look at what he's saying. And there are people who say, no thanks. I'll stay in Egypt. I'll stay in the bondage. And it breaks our hearts. Believe him. Men ought always to pray and what? Not lose heart. Having this ministry by the mercy of God, we don't lose heart. We do not lose heart, though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look for the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I hope you've heard God's covenant of grace sermon to you today. Let's pray. Where do we begin, O Lord, to thank you? In all of our belligerence and all of our hardened heart, you have spoken over and over us. You told us how this would go. You told us we would be taken to the brink at times in life. You told us through much tribulation we enter the kingdom. You've told us all this, and then in the midst of it, you said that in the world we'll have tribulation, but you sent your Son who told us that he's overcome the world. And yet when the tribulation and when the hardship is right in front of us, we seem to be blinded. We erect walls to everything you've ever said. We stiffen our hearts. Forgive us for this. And I pray this morning as the pastor here, whom under shepherd of Christ, whom you called, that you, Lord, would open wide every heart and soften it. Let it not be that however long this pastor stands here, that someone could stiffen their heart and never hear the gospel message of grace. Break in. Remove bitterness. Remove hearts that are angry, complaining spirits, and give them joy that is complete and joy that is fulfilled as they look for the day when the Lord Jesus Christ will come and make everything right. Cheer our hearts, O Lord, and thank you for treating us this way. In Jesus' name we pray these things in confidence. Amen.
Now, you've been listening to Pastor Chris Gordon here today on Abounding Grace. Questions and comments are always welcome. In fact, if you have a smartphone, simply access your voice memo app. Leave us a question. Don't forget your name and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. We'll do our best to get Pastor Chris to answer it for you here on the program. Praise reports are welcome as well. Again, questions@agradio.org is where you would email your voice memos. And if you wish to write to us or give us a call, you can reach out to us a couple of ways. First, as always, our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. You know, we have a lot of friends who have come alongside of us financially and prayerfully, committing to partnering with us that this program continues on this radio station. It's our prayer that you would join that growing list of friends and Abounding Grace Radio family members who are concerned about this broadcast, are encouraged by it, and committed to seeing that it continues on this radio station. If you are, please contact us today. No gift is too small, no gift is too large. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly gift, it all makes a huge difference as we continue ministering the gospel here on this radio station. Reach us at 888-504-8805 or agradio.org. As we close out our time together today, I'm looking forward to the rest of the week when we are back into Exodus. It's an intermission you should never forget, and it's also time to pick a fight. Oh, it's an exciting look at Exodus, and we trust you'll join us the rest of this week as we examine together God's Word that we might be encouraged in His abounding grace. And thank you again so much for joining us. And until tomorrow, may Jesus be your abounding grace. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 8:30 for the morning service, 5 p.m. for the evening service, and both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.